small catechism, the six chief parts of Christian doctrine. Last week we looked at Jesus before the Sanhedrin and the Ten Commandments. Tonight we're going to look at the Apostles' Creed and Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Now the Apostles' Creed, as you know, is a summary of our Christian faith. And it tells, and very succinctly, it tells us who our God is, that He is the Trinity, one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Apostles' Creed is divided up into three parts, three articles. And each article gives us a summary of each person of the Trinity. The second article of the Apostles' Creed focuses on the second person of the Trinity, on Jesus, summarizing who He is and what He came to do, summarizing His work, His person and His work and what He did for our salvation. And one of the things that He did, according to the Apostles' Creed, it says He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now in John chapter 18, we have Jesus standing before Pilate. He had just been on trial before the Sanhedrin. We looked at that last week, and it was a trial at night. It was a mock trial, and the only reason for the trial was to hand down a guilty verdict to Jesus. So they were trying to get rid of Jesus. However, they could not sentence Jesus to death. They had tried him for blasphemy. He was found guilty of blasphemy. But in order to get him put to death, he had to be found guilty by the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire would not have cared about the charge of blasphemy because they don't care about Jewish law. So the Jewish leaders had to get the Roman government to see that Jesus is guilty of insurrection because he claimed to be a king. And only Caesar is king. So they send him to Pontius Pilate for this trial, hoping that Pontius Pilate would see things their way. So Pilate begins his examination. And Pilate asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And in the course of this examination, finally Jesus says, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then Pilate responds, "What is truth?" And with that, he finishes his examination. Now, there is a debate whether Pilate was sincere. Was he really asking that question because he wanted to know the truth, or was he just asking that question in jest? It's pretty clear, however, he wasn't looking to find out the truth from Jesus. He wasn't there to learn anything from Jesus. All he was trying to do was figure out if Jesus was truly guilty or if he was in fact innocent. And Pilate hands down his verdict. He says, "I find no guilt in him." So Pilate doesn't even want to crucify Jesus. He wants him to be let go. The religious leaders want Jesus gone. So Pilate decides he's going to let the crowd make the decision. Take this out of their hands and his hands, give it to the crowd. And so he says, "But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Hoping the crowd would release Jesus, to Pilate's surprise, they say they want Barabbas. Ironically, Barabbas is an insurrectionist and a murderer, and he gets to go free. But let's go back to Pilate's question. What is truth? And let's pretend for a minute that Pilate was asking this question sincerely. It is a good question. And it's a question we should all be asking ourselves. What is truth? And I imagine this was a pretty confusing question in Pilate's day. Because Pilate lived in an environment, in the Roman Empire, you had a lot of different religions. Lots of different gods, lots of different beliefs and worldviews, all competing. And the Roman Empire was really just interested in getting along. Peace in the Roman Empire. Most religions, they didn't care really what you believed, but the religion did have to be approved by the Roman government. So they had all kinds of different religions. A way to describe the environment back then would have been one of religious pluralism and tolerance. A lot of different religions, and let's just all get along. Religious pluralism and tolerance. And in that kind of environment, how can you possibly ascertain the truth? It's really very similar to how we find our, the environment we find ourselves living in today. We would describe our own climate and our culture today as one of religious pluralism and tolerance. So the question that Pilate asked is every bit as relevant today as it was back in the first century AD. What is truth? When you have all kinds of religions, worldviews competing, everyone saying that they are equally valid, how do you answer the question? What is truth in a culture with all these different contradictory beliefs all around us? In a culture where being tolerant is more important than being right? Our culture answers this by saying, truth is relative. Truth is found in you. You decide truth for yourself. So if you want to be Buddhist, be Buddhist. If you want to be Hindu, or Islam, or Christian, or Jewish, or atheist, whatever. Whatever works for you, that is your truth. And so truth is really relegated to an opinion. And no one can tell you if you're wrong. And in a culture where we value tolerance and allows everyone to be right, the one thing that will not be tolerated is anyone coming along and saying they have the truth, the only truth. And here before Pilate, Jesus says he comes to testify to the truth. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. What is truth? Jesus points to himself and says, I am truth. And that means if Jesus is the truth, it means every other belief system necessarily has to be wrong. And no one wants to hear that in a culture like this. People today don't want to hear that they're wrong. And in the Apostles' Creed, we stake our lives on the fact that Jesus alone brings salvation. He alone brings us to the Father. We aren't stating our opinion when we profess the Apostles' Creed. We're saying this is the truth. This alone is the truth. Pilate asks, what is truth? He doesn't wait for Jesus to answer the question. Did you notice that? And I don't know if Jesus was even intending to answer his question, but we don't hear anything from Jesus. But Jesus does answer the question, not so much the words. He answers the question in his actions. And the rest of John's gospel is Jesus answering this question, what is true? And we have it very nicely summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed. After it says he suffered under Pontius Pilate, he says he was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. The answer to the question, what is truth, is found on the cross and at the empty tomb. On the cross, we see the truth that we are sinners, and the only thing that could save us from our sin, to bring us back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father, was a sacrifice. And Jesus came to be that sacrifice for us, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The cross shows us the truth about our sin, and it shows us the truth about the tremendous love of our Heavenly Father who was willing to sacrifice his only Son so that we could be with him in his kingdom. That's the truth of the cross. We also have the answer at the empty tomb. The empty tomb tells us that Jesus rose from the dead. It tells us that Jesus is in fact unique. Back in 2007, director James Cameron had a documentary called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. It came out during Easter, as these things usually do. Someone always tries to find some proof that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So this was one of those times. This was a documentary called The Lost Tomb of Jesus, and they claimed they had found the ossuary, the bone box of Jesus, where his remains would have been, claiming they had physical evidence that Jesus did not rise from the dead. And James Cameron in the documentary said this. He said, if this is true, it changes certain aspects of the way we view Jesus. Certain aspects. I don't think the Apostle Paul would agree with that, that it changes certain aspects of the way we would view Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So what Paul is saying is, if Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, I'm wasting my time right now and you're wasting your time listening to me. A Christ that didn't rise from the dead wouldn't change certain aspects of the gospel. It would change everything. It would change everything we see about Jesus because it would show us that the claims of Jesus aren't true if he didn't rise from the dead. It would mean that Jesus isn't unique. But Jesus did rise from the dead, and in doing so, he secured our salvation. And that's the truth of the empty tomb. Our faith, the truth that we stand on and confess in the Apostles' Creed, is a solid foundation. It's a solid foundation because it's not our truth. It's God's truth. It is the truth about our sin, and it is the truth about our God who loves us so much that he did something about our sin in sending Jesus, his only Son, to bring us eternal life. This is revealed to us in God's Word, and it happened in history. There was a manger. There was a cross. There was an empty tomb. And you know, in the Apostles' Creed, do you know why it says that he suffered under Pontius Pilate? Do you know why that was included? It was not included to assign blame to Pontius Pilate. If we want to look for blame for who crucified Jesus, we only need to look to ourselves, because it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. So it wasn't to assign blame that Pontius Pilate is included in the Apostles' Creed. He was included in the Apostles' Creed to show us that this actually happened in history. Our faith is not based on myth. Our faith is not based on legend. It happened in history. That we could say during this time in history, when the Roman Empire was on the scene and the governor, Pontius Pilate, was the governor of this area of Palestine. During that time, these things happened. Pilate is mentioned by name to show us that all of this, the salvation of humanity, is a historical fact. The Apostles' Creed shows us that our faith is based on actual events. That something happened in history to change the world forever. Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose from the dead to give you eternal life because God loves you. And that is the truth. Amen. May the peace of God which passes all understanding keep your hearts to find Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen.